The Canadian Raj, February 11, 2022, by Justice Anna Vaughan writes, Big Lake, Alaska. Those of a certain age remember the Raj, the brutal English territorial government of India, and most of us are old enough to remember or have heard about the great non-violent resistance movement led by Mahatma Gandhi, which exposed this regime and toppled it in 1949. What followed was a worldwide repudiation of colonialism. Most of us realize that it was unjust for European nations to keep other nations enslaved and dependent as colonies, and with this growing awareness, the worst offenders were gradually forced to abdicate their claims on the resources and labor of their former colonies. The situation with the British Commonwealth was somewhat different and at least superficially less egregious, as they styled their colonies as constitutional commonwealths that were voluntarily allied, though they continued to tax their labor resources, seize upon their natural resources, and claim a trustee interest in their land. By 1965, the situation with the Commonwealth was recognized for what it was, colonialism with a nice hairpiece, and the Commonwealth was disbanded with considerable pomp and circumstance while I was still a child in grade school. I read all about it in Weekly Reader, which served as our highly edited news source about international affairs. And then, much to my surprise, nothing appeared to happen. Ta-da, the Commonwealth is gone, hoo-hoo hooray, and nothing. Everything appeared to go on just as it always had, and so far as I and my counterparts in Canada and Australia and New Zealand and South Africa could see, it was the same old government doing the same old thing the same old way. But none of the adults paused long enough and thought hard enough about it, and certainly my public school teachers could provide no insight into this odd situation, so I eventually forgot about it, though like so many other questions, it rattled around somewhere nagging at me with a lot of other unanswered questions. It all came rushing back to the surface 2 years ago when I woke up and remembered it and began digging. Sure enough, the Commonwealth was dissolved. Then, after a period of years in which the confused people of the former Commonwealths did nothing to organize their own new government, the Queen came back in and exerted a territorial protectorate over them and hired the British Crown to administer these disorganized and unclaimed provinces. Thus, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and all the other former Commonwealths were deftly maneuvered out of their considerably better situation as constitutional Commonwealths and relegated to the status of occupied territories. Instead of people having a guaranteed constitution to rely on, they were gifted with their own version of the Raj, the Canadian Raj, the Australian Raj, the New Zealand Raj, and so on. Just as in India, these territorial government forces were and are quasi-military extensions of the government of Westminster, working under the imperial aegis, rapacious, dishonest, often cruel and petty, doctrinaire, self-serving, and incorporated as part of the British Crown. That is, they are hired as mercenaries to keep the peasants down and the money, labor, and natural resources flowing. The entities directing their activities on the ground are all commercial corporations that operate by force. If anyone complained, the Queen and the Lord Mayor could shrug and basically say, "It's your own fault. You have every opportunity to set up your own government and govern yourselves, but you have done nothing toward that, so, someone has to take on the expense and responsibility for you." Just as they did in America 100 years before, the blighters contrived to claim that the people of all these former commonwealths had magically become dependents and wards of the Queen, because they hadn't organized their independent government and made all the appropriate declarations, proclamations, financial arrangements, elections, and so on, following the dissolution of the Commonwealth. So, here we have all these Aussies and Canadians and New Zealanders and South Africaners and Kenyans and others in the former Commonwealths, still imagining that their Commonwealth constitutions are in effect and that they have rights and guarantees, when in fact, they've been cashiered as wards of the Queen. All their lands and businesses have been seized upon, and they, themselves, have been trafficked and impersonated as employees of municipal corporations, persons who are foreigners in their own country. Put bluntly, they got away with something similar in America, though with zero authority or standing to do it, so they tried the same shtick on the Commonwealths. And they've gotten away with that for darn near all of the soon-to-be 70-year reign of Queen Elizabeth II. Right under all our noses. This is, of course, the very worst kind of legalistic quagmire rooted in the most venal and stubborn dishonesty and self-interest. While appearing to acquiesce to the world's demand for the end of colonialism, the Brits turned around and used deceit, omission, and breach of trust to create something worse and even more profitable for themselves. The shameless and vicious Governor Morrison, who rounded children up in stadiums in Australia and force-vaccinated thousands of them with poisons, has finally been relieved and a new replacement has been sent in to substitute for the monster. We can only hope that national and world opinion and international law and public shaming will finally put an end to the Australian Raj and the Canadian Raj and all the rest of the remaining Raj bureaucracies once and for all. The British governments, both the monarchy and Westminster, deserve to lose the position of respect and trust that they have long and undeservedly occupied. We can all now see how they have treated their friends and allies, which is no different than they have treated their enemies.